It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, here he is, Doug Oster, DougOster.com. Of course, he's the guy that does all sorts of good things when it comes to the world of gardening, and he'd love to hear from you. We've got Davey Tree, Talking Trees, coming up in about 30 minutes. But we always begin by giving you an opportunity to win a gift certificate from Sorgles if you're the 10th caller at 412-922-1020. That's the 10th caller right now. So without further ado, here he is, Mr. Doug Oster. Good morning, Doug.
Good morning. I hope you got some rain yesterday because I did not get any. Oh, you know the feeling when you hear on the news, front's coming through and you see it on the radar and it went right underneath me. And it looked pretty like the storms were pretty severe. I hope you got rain, but not the bad type of rain. I've never seen it this dry in my garden. I'd actually watered some perennials, which I'd never watered before just because they look like they were on death's door. I want to start off with a pawpaw story. And so last Sunday, I was at Han Nursery, and a wonderful woman came up with a bag of pawpaws. And pawpaws are a native fruit. I talk about them all the time. They're like the size of a potato, and they taste like a combination between mango and banana. And that's just getting close. It's not really like that. But I started sharing around a couple of them with my pawpaw friends there, and they said it's the best-tasting pawpaw they've ever tasted, but I don't know how to get a hold of her, and so I hope that she's a listener. I hope that's how we connected. Please reach out, because people, you know, we want to take cuttings of that tree or talk you into not cutting that tree down or whatever might be happening, so... You can either call here at the station, or you can, which is the 866-391-1020 number, or you can reach out to me through DougOster.com if you're listening. I have been really enjoying the end of the season, even though it's so dry, just sitting out on the in the garden on cool nights. I was walking out there the other day. I did some planting because I thought I was going to get rain, but it didn't come. And I was walking out, and the big pileated woodpecker, the one that they modeled Woody Woodpecker after, was working on a maple tree and was only about, 15 feet from me. So I just froze and watched that pileated looking through all the cracks and crevices of this Japanese maple looking for bugs and watching the chipmunks stuffing their cheeks with nuts getting ready for winter. And one of the joys in my garden are the morning glories. There's a unusual, unique one that I grow. It's called Flying Saucers. And I've posted pictures of this on Facebook where it's just it's a basic white, but it's streaked in sky blue colors. And it's definitely a late bloomer because it just started about 2 weeks ago. I wonder what you think of morning glories. Is it too much for you? Does it overtake your garden, or do you love them like me? And I've got a little area in the garden called the fern room. And it's just all these native hay-scented ferns that were just there naturally. And I just put a chair out there. It's like kind of on the outside corner of the vegetable garden. And it's a place I love to sit, but I've only sat there. That was the first time I sat there all season. And again, listening to the sounds of summer as the sun goes down, the crickets, the birds, the squirrels chirping and chipmunks. And then there was a red-bellied woodpecker that was around and have a very distinctive call. Now, I've got an event coming up this Wednesday at 6 p.m. It's a free webinar about my May trip to the Gardens of London. And this, we do this every time I have a trip, we do a webinar that explains everything we're going to see and the cost of the trip and how we're going to get there. It is a direct flight from Pittsburgh, which is awesome. And we'll just cover all the details of the trip. It's going to the Chelsea Flower Show and touring all these cool gardens in London. The direct flight makes life so much easier. But it's also some other things in London, St. Paul's Cathedral, Westminster Abbey, Tower of London, and then the gardens. Hampton Court Palace Gardens is just amazing, and one of my favorites is Wisley and also Sissonhurst. So that's Wednesday, 6 o'clock. You can just go to DougOster.com to register. I am having the best year ever for figs, and I've been eating them in an unhealthy way. I've been wrapping them in prosciutto, but what are you laughing at over there?
My man, my hero. Oh, you know what? That could go viral.
Yesterday, Rob, I picked like 10 figs, and I've been picking, and I had a little prosciutto left in there, and my wife's out of town, so I'm like, I usually save them for her, okay? The figs are because, you know, when we had our 25th anniversary, went to Italy, met up with her cousin, and he had this fig forest, basically. And so I told her I would grow figs here, and I've almost given up. Some years, you know, it doesn't work, or the season isn't long enough, but this year has been just great. My friend from Han, when I showed up there, I brought her a big bag of this wild mushroom called chicken of the woods. Don't mess with mushrooms unless you know what you're doing. They can kill you. That's a warning. But I know that she loves this mushroom, and I know the mushroom. But she had made me strawberry fig jam, and that was Sunday, and it's already gone. My grandkids had it. We had it. It was amazing. And so next month, just a couple weeks, our guest is going to be Steve Biggs, and he's the one from Toronto, the fig whisperer, who taught me how to grow figs and get a good crop. And it's been a great crop. Now, not like as good as Diana's, or not as good as some of these ones in the city where they're just going nuts, where it's 1,000 figs. I'm probably going to pick 100, maybe 200 figs eventually here. And every day I'm getting, you know, like I said, 6-10, and they're wonderful raw, but when you have prosciutto around, those two of them, and actually, to make it even worse, I melted some cheese on top. I'm not supposed to eat that way, but what can you do? And I did do some planting a week ago or so, and a rabbit snuck in and took some of the lettuce. So I fixed the gate, and I'm using this granular repellent. I think I got it from Dave at Sorgel's. It's called Deer and Rabbit Mace, and it's one of the products that is mint-based, and it's a granular thing. So I put that all over, and so far, so good. I should just fence those raised beds in the fenced-in garden. I've done that before. And go to the webpage, DougOster.com, because another one of my friends ate the Pimenta Bella Purple, hot pepper I got from Sorgel's. It's a 1 million Scovilles. Now, Dave Foreman and I worked together at QED for many, many years, and he was my first hot pepper hero because he told me the story about how he ate a habanero, a whole habanero. And he said he was sitting there, and he was just watching TV, and he had that habanero sitting on the kitchen counter, and he had it stacked up with some milk and bread and all the things that make you cool off from burning. And he ate the whole habanero, just ate it, and then did the milk and the bread to try and cool it off. And 20 minutes later, I thought he was having a heart attack. I know this hot pepper thing must be crazy for you, but he sent me pictures, and I did a story on it. This was years ago, where he ate a Carolina Reaper. And I said, why would you eat a Carolina Reaper? He goes, well, why would I grow one if I'm not going to eat it? So I thought of him when I had the Pimenta Bella Purples. Last week I told you about my friend Hot Pepper Dave. He ate one, but he was nibbling on them. Dave Foreman took the whole thing and bit it. And I begged him yesterday, can I put that on my webpage? Because, oh, man, he feels the heat for sure. And so check that out. And real quick, white snake root is in bloom right now. Some call it a weed. I call it a wildflower, and it's so cool. Some of it sprouted in a container. It's filled with coleus and salvia and geraniums and overwintered dusty miller and purple grass. And it's not a weed. It's a wildflower. It's just those white flowers we're seeing right now, about 3-4 foot tall.
you know, you should do this whole, you know, that First We Feast thing with hot wings is millions and millions of views. You should do the same thing with peppers on the internet. People would love that. Challenge some celebrities and everyday people. I mean, peppers are unique, man.
This is a cool looking pepper, and I've eaten a little bit of it, but it's...
My dad loved hot pepper. I mean, the hotter the better. Butter, bread... Put that pepper in there, and that was like a delicacy, man. A little shot of Crown Royal. He
there
was
you
good
go.
To go. That prosciutto thing. Now, you know, all these friends of mine, like Judge Marmo and all of them are going to be asking me about this now. Is that something you created?
No. I've read about that somewhere, that's the way to eat them. And I had a friend over the other day, and I only had 3 figs, and I did them up that way. I did a little charcuterie thing before I cooked a couple whole chickens on the grill, and I said, "Try these." And I was trying to convince them they were Rocky Mountain oysters.
You know, isn't it funny? All we need is some retro TV and some alone time.
We
can have a whole lot of fun. All right, we'll take a break. We'd love to get those garden questions in before Davey Tree Talking Tree. So if you have a gardening question, 866-391-1020. All right, Doug told me to beg for callers. So 866-391-1020.
Please.
We want to hear from you. We want to give you an opportunity before Davey Tree gets here. And we're also going to give you a chance to talk about trees with our fine guest from Davey Trees that we do every other week. We love having them throughout the season. Let's go to Wexford and say hi to Jim. Jim wants to talk about figs. Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, Doug, I've heard you speak about them before, probably last year maybe. And I got a small fig tree this spring, and I got in a 6-gallon bucket, and it's doing really, really good. I'm not going to get figs for a while, but you know, the bucket weighs probably 50, 60 pounds maybe. And I don't know, where do you store your figs? I understand they don't take winter very well.
So mine are actually growing out in the garden. But the way you're doing it is a way you can do it too. So let's just talk first about the container, how we want that to save it for the winter. So put it on a dolly, put it on casters,
right? Yeah.
And roll it into the garage when it gets cold, after it loses its leaves, once we get a first frost.
Uh-huh.
And leave it in the garage all winter, maybe watering once a month. You don't want to overwater it. And then we do what Steve Biggs, the fig whisperer, said it's called the fig dance. And so you have your little dolly, and on nice days, you bring that fig out into the driveway, and on cold days, any day it's going to frost, you put it back in. And that will work to get you figs. And you might get this, there's this one type of crop, and it's called breba. And I can't remember if it's B-R-E-B-A or B-R-E, I think it's B-R-E-B-A, breba crop. And that is like this early crop where you can come out of dormancy putting figs on immediately. And when that happens, you'll get 2 crops. You'll get a July crop, and then you'll get a crop this time of the year.
Well, how do you keep yours alive outside?
Okay, so here's what I'm doing. And my tree now is, man, I'm trying to think how tall that is. At least 10 foot tall. And it's, you know how the fig is so kind of wiry and wispy? I can reach up to the branch and just pull it all the way down to pick the fig, and it doesn't hurt the plant at all. It's not cracking it or anything. So at the end of the season, once we get frost and it loses all its leaves, I'm on one side, I'm kind of cutting the roots, doing a root pruning, and then I'm laying the whole thing flat. I tie it all together, and I lay it flat, and then I put on top of it, I put like 10 bags of like compost or something, something that I can use next spring in the garden. And then over that, those bags of compost, because they're cheap, I'll put a thick layer of straw just to be sure. And that's really worked for me. Of course, we've had mild winters sometimes in the past, and I haven't, not doing it that way, but doing it other ways, trying to protect it. I've come out of winter and the top has been dead, and then it sprouts from the bottom, and it's really hard to get figs when they sprout from the bottom like that because it's too long of a season for them. As long as when I bring it out of dormancy, when I look at it, and I don't bring it out of dormancy until I'm sure there's no frost, and as long as there's, and usually they start sprouting with leaves and stuff like that, then I know I'm probably going to get figs because it's it's ready to go and it's going to do its thing. But, you know, it's not easy. And in the years where I've only got like three figs or something, I've thought to myself, why am I doing this? Well, you know, it takes a lot of space up in the garden too. But like I said, mine, you know, when people ask me about growing figs, I always tell them, you got to have a reason to grow figs. It's either I want to succeed at growing something that doesn't grow here, or in my case, it's like, well, my wife's connection to Italy, you know, you've got to have a reason, because it can be a lot of work and it can be frustrating.
My son, he lives in Charlottesville, Virginia, and he has a fig tree for a few years now. But he's not very big, but he gets pretty good many figs off, and also his neighbor also.
Much easier in that climate.
Well, they get winters, they get below freezing down here occasionally.
I know, but not like us, not like a 20 degree or something like that.
Yeah, well, yeah, but he doesn't cover it or anything, and they do get below freezing. I thought they didn't take the winter, you know, so they do take some freezing then?
I think they can get down to about, and Steve will correct me in the next couple of weeks, but it's around 26, I think they can take until they die. The top dies off. I think that's what it is.
Well, mine's only about, including the bucket, which would be the root system. It's totally maybe 4 or 5 foot tall. It's doing good. It's growing well. And I was wondering about the root system. I don't know whether I have a tight root system down.
They like that.
See through the bucket.
They like that. Don't worry about that.
That doesn't need transplanted after a while. The roots.
I wouldn't worry about it at all.
Yeah, you think it could live for a while in that bucket?
Yeah, definitely. I might fertilize next year, next spring, with just a balanced fertilizer, just to be sure.
Yeah, I was thinking maybe making a wooden, good, strong wooden crate, and same kind of transportation on the
dollar. Yeah, it would actually like a little bit bigger than 6 gallons, but I know it's very difficult to move something like that big, but it would prefer a bigger container if it's possible, but I think you'd be okay for now in 6 gallons. But I think in the next season or two, you're going to want to go to a bigger container or try the outdoor growing.
So what are we going to be doing coming up with David Tree?
Well, we're talking all about what Steve is seeing for the season, seeing in our trees. And callers, hold on there. We'll grab you right before we get to David Tree when we come back from the break. And we're going to talk all about trees. I'm going to have to ask him about watering, too. Again, for people like me who did not get any rain yesterday, it's very frustrating. My garden, I'm telling you, Rob, it's like walking through a desert. The paths are just like dry sand, basically. It's really surprising how these plants are so resilient and able to handle this amount of drought.
All right, coming up, Davey Tree Talking Tree on The Organic Gardener with Doug Oster, DougOster.com. All right, as promised, before we get to David Tree Talking Trees, we're going to talk to one of our callers in just a moment. But in the meantime, we're going to give you an opportunity to win that Janoski's gift certificate if you are the 10th caller at 412-922-1020. That's 412-922-1020. The 10th caller wins a gift certificate from Janoski. So before David Tree Talking Trees, here's Bill for Doug Oster. Hey, Bill, how are you? Good morning.
Well, I'm doing well, except my cabbage plants aren't doing very good.
What's going on?
Well, there's these little white, tiny, I mean, they are really tiny, white flies, and there must be thousands of them on each plant. And when you shake it, they're like swarm around a little bit, and then they go back on the plant. And it's the, like, broccoli, cauliflower, kohlrabis, Brussels sprouts, they've just destroyed them. And I was wondering, you know, is there anything you can put on them?
Definitely. Very common this time of the year when we see an explosion of white flies. And so there's two organic things that you can use. And you're going to have to keep spraying here like two or three times to get them. But there's two things. One is insecticidal soap. And the other one is called horticultural oil. Either one of those is available at a good nursery. Don't try and mix up some kind of homemade thing. These things work. And what we do is we go out there, and you'll see what'll happen. You'll start spraying them, and they'll become a cloud of white flies. You got to get that stuff on the white fly. And when you do, you do it once, and then maybe a couple days later, a couple other times, you'll destroy the infestation pretty quickly. And white flies aren't the worst thing for your plants either. They're just more of a nuisance. I mean, they do some sucking out of fluids, but yeah, just use that stuff and you'll be okay. How was your season otherwise, though?
It was hot and dry.
Did you get any rain?
You're describing about walking through sand. That's about what it is down here.
Did you get any rain yesterday?
A little bit. We get rain, but it's like it'll make the grass a little green, but that's about it.
Yeah. Oh, man. I hope we get some rain the next couple of days.
Yeah. We've had really hot this summer. We've had some days where it'd be in the 100, 101 or something.
Wow.
Even now it's still in the 80s and, every day almost. And so, but these little white flies, they were just bugging me all summer.
Yeah, they're a real pain. We usually up here, we usually see them on tomatoes, to tell you the truth.
These ones, the tomatoes, the beans, the beets, anything else, they don't bother. It's just it seems like the cabbage family plants.
Huh, that's interesting.
And they actually like destroy the plant. They'll eat like the leaves will get all like chewed up and everything. And so I don't know. Like I said, I tried some homemade stuff on them, but that didn't seem to work. So
so are you getting some chewing problems on those crops too?
Oh yeah, they'll like destroy the plant. The
See, leaves, I don't think that's everything. White flies that's doing that. I think that's something else. The white flies are. Oh. Do we lose Bill? Okay. Well, I think you look also for the cabbage worm and make sure that on your cabbage and all those plants that the cabbage worms aren't on there. Or it could be slugs because white flies don't chew. So I hope you got that, Bill.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We're joined by Steve Fallure. We're joined by Rob Kruljack. Hey, Rob, how are you doing?
There you go. Doing all right. You're Doug.
Yeah. Thanks for filling in. I appreciate it.
Surprise. You're welcome.
Well, tell me about the season, Rob. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
It's rough. It's rough. All this drought.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. This has been awful.
Yeah. The trees are losing leaves. They're not happy. They're watering around that right now to get the tree through the winter or through the rest of the end of the summer here into the fall is probably the best thing you do right now.
And so let's talk a little bit about watering. And we've talked about it before, but with the weather like this, I my dog would, I'm telling you, both of them, they're already changing color and kind of drying up.
Yeah, the leaf diseases that start out early in the spring can affect trees this time of year, or even earlier with defoliating them. But right now we're just seeing a lack of water causing, sudden limb drop. Trees are dry, cracking, losing their leaves. So hopefully we can just get through the rest of this and into the winter, and hopefully start over again next year.
Soak those plants right now, or let them go dormant.
Let them go dormant.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Yep,
and so with this dry weather, how else has it affected trees? Are you seeing insects or diseases?
It's a stressor. Insect diseases will take advantage of the plants being in stressed and have an easier way to, an easier foothold to gain on plants this time of year. With the leaves falling off, that's fine. They go dormant. They'll produce new ones next year, and then the cycle starts over. And hopefully they can find some sort of balance here in the future.
Does it make your job harder when it's dry like this?
In some ways, yes. But in some ways, it's nice to be able to access properties and areas on a property that you wouldn't normally be able to with some equipment without causing damage or, to the lawn space and such. So it's a little bit of it's hard on the plants that we're working for. It's hard to identify things that don't have leaves on them or the problems they may be having. But for the access to properties, having a dry like this is actually a good thing.
So next week, my guest is going to talk to us all about spotted lanternflies and how they're studying them and how we can help with those studies. What have you seen this season related to spotted lanternfly?
Less than expected, I'd like to say.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
Right? Yeah. We're watching the trend, and the population as it grows, and it's kind of here now. And a lot of us thought that this was going to be a very bad year for them. It'd be everywhere. And as it turns out, it's not quite like that. So I'm not sure why, but that's a good thing. It's an annoying pest. It's not going to destroy our forest, but still the less of them the better.
You would not want to have a maple tree on top of a deck if you were infested with spotted lanternfly, right?
Unless you like sooty mold, then
that sooty mold is disgusting. But Rob, hold on, thanks for filling in. We're going to take a little break. For more information about Davy Tree or to ask what's going on with your trees, go to davy.com/KDKA. And remember, you can always call the experts from Davy Tree at 855-982-TREE. That's 855-982-8733.
Well, he was talking to Bill. I just want everyone to know at Davy Tree, I went through the entire starting lineup. Luke Warner, Eric Countryman. So I just texted them all to let them know that we woke Rob up, but he's doing a great job. And Steve, we'll catch you next time around.
Right.
Craig Stone, as we move further, or more Davy Tree Talking Tree. And we'll come back with Doug and, of course, Rob in just a couple of moments. Stay with us. This is KDKA. All right, let's get a call in here for Rob and Doug, and then we'll get ready for the news at 8 with Rob Taylor, and then we'll have Frank, meaning Dentisi, in the Coons Cooking Hour.
Talking to Rob.
Yeah, that's exactly right. At least I hope so. Let's say hi to Dan in Cleveland, wants to talk pawpaw. Go ahead there, Dan. How are you?
Oh. Good morning, gentlemen. I had my first pawpaw this week. It was fantastic.
Oh, this is awesome, Dan. I'm excited to hear that. When did you put the tree in?
About 4 years ago, I put a pear in. I did not have any pawpaws the last couple of years, so I hand-pollinated this spring. But then my dear friend stopped by and had the rest of them, so I only got one out of the batch.
Talk about the hand-pollination process, because I've never done that.
Yes, please.
So I've got two trees, and so what I did is I took the pollen from one tree and moved it to the other.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you have, I think it was like a green flower, and then I took the pollen from that, and then I put it to a red flower.
Hmm.
because at one point they're male flowers, and then at another point they're female flowers. And I can't remember the exact color, but I looked it up online.
That's good to know. But what are you going to do when your tree gets 30 foot tall?
I'll just keep hand pollinating if I have to, or maybe I'll get some of those squirrels and hang them in there.
Yeah, Rob, you know, that's the old wives' tale that indigenous Americans used to hang dead squirrels in their pawpaw to help pollination.
Really? I just learned something new this morning.
There you go. And, Rob, we've got one more call or two that wants to talk.
Same topic. Here's Kurt in Harmony. Go ahead, Kurt. You're on KDKA.
Morning, Doug.
Good morning. What's Hello? On your mind? Go ahead.
Yeah, I had a pawpaw a couple weeks ago, and I saved the seeds, and I want to try to grow them from seeds. Are there any tips or tricks?
Plant them right away. On pawpaw seeds, we don't want them to dry out. We want to get them in the ground as soon as we can. Put them in good soil, water them, and they need this thing called stratification, where it happens naturally, where it gets cold at winter and then warm again and cold. The thing is, it could take 2 years for germination. I have germinated a few over the years, and sometimes it's the next spring, sometimes it's two springs down the road. So give it a shot and put as many seeds in as you can and give them some space. I have two pawpaws in my vegetable garden, which I have to move, or I'm not going to have a vegetable garden. This is a big tree. All right? All right, thanks for your call. So, Rob, thanks for filling in. We appreciate it. And you know my property. Well, guess what? I got another oak tree on the way out. So Vince is coming over on Tuesday to take a look at it, and you know what's going to happen there. So that's just part of living in an oak forest, right?
Yeah, it comes with the territory.
Yeah, definitely. Well, as always, Rob, it's great to talk to you. Appreciate you. crawling out of bed, or maybe rolling over in bed to be on the show, and we'll talk to you soon. We'll hang out. Maybe we can do a little kayak fishing here coming up. Okay,
like that here before the weather turns too sour.
All right, great to talk to you. For more information about Davy Tree or to ask what's going on with your trees, go to davy.com/KDK, and remember, you can always call the experts from Davy Tree at 855-982-TREE. That's 855-982-8733. Wednesday, 6 p.m., a free webinar. Remember, organic gardeners, you make our world brighter and safer with each seed you sow and every garden you grow.
All right, coming up at 8 o'clock, it's Rob in the News, and then Frank Dentisi, Oktoberfest, a topic of conversation today on the Coons Cooking Hour on KDKA Pittsburgh.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.